It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here in Phoenix, Arizona, from Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. We're not afraid, but we're concerned as heck, man. I tell you what, I want to go straight to the phones. Let's go to my friend Jeff. Jeff, I got you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Ernie?
Hey, Jeff, let's go ahead and turn Jeff up a little bit. Okay, Jeff, what I want to do is you go to freedomsphoenix.com at the top of the page, this afternoon show, and I went ahead at the very bottom of this archive page here. You'll go ahead and you'll see that we put up I don't see it there. I'll get it, what you sent me in an email. I want you to tell me what you did for the legislature here and what you found out.
Well, there's a law that was passed back in 2002, which concerns patient tracking during an enhanced surveillance situation under a declared state of emergency with regards to bioterrorism. And I did some analysis on it, and essentially what it does is enables the state government to access confidential patient information. And if they're unable to identify you, such as what you pointed out on Freedom's Phoenix today, where they can mandate vaccines. Well, let's say we don't want the vaccines and we're traveling outside the city in a car heading towards the mountains or the shore, wherever the heck we're going. If you get stopped and it's during one of these emergencies, if either they can't verify that you've had the vaccine, such as by an RFID bracelet or a note from your doctor, and or you refuse to self-identify so they can't check public health databases, then you can be detained indefinitely without due process until they can identify you using your national ID identifiers through federal databases.
Okay, so bottom line is this. You must have your papers, please, in this country, and they're going to use this power that they have because of, you might be sick, as a reason for getting that identification. And if you don't supply it to them or you refuse to take the vaccination, they can incarcerate you.
They can incarcerate you literally in a quarantine camp. So, for example, if you and I are traveling down the street and we're both perfectly healthy and we're just conscientious objectors, we don't want the vaccine, and we can't prove that we've had it and or we refuse to self-identify at a checkpoint, say, for example, they can detain us indefinitely in a quarantine camp with other sick people. So perfectly healthy, religious, or otherwise conscientious objectors who refuse to take the vaccine can be detained indefinitely without due process. Oh, there is a process in place where after you're in the camp for 10 days, you can write a letter to a judge, an administrative judge, who will review it 15 days later.
That's one thing that was interesting. We were doing a thing on the Constitution a couple of days ago, and Eric brought up the fact that you go to Section 9, the writ of habeas corpus is in there, but it says until, there's some emergency or
until
we don't
an
want
emergency.
It anymore. And I'm going, are you kidding me? So now we're finding out. We'll get into the show here in a little bit. Thanks for, giving us that update. But we're finding out that all of this emergency, all you got to do is governor has to sign now emergency and everything is enacted. It's already
Ernie, if
there.
I can make one more point, if that's all right. Actually, two quick ones. Note, Section 36790, patient-doctor privilege does not protect you from your doctor reporting on you, number one. And number two, there's an initiative going around for the 2010 Arizona ballot, which is supposedly against sanctuary cities, to eliminate sanctuary cities. And right in the middle of that is language highly similar to this. Of course, at this time, it requires a legitimate police stops, such as your light is broken or you have a cover on your license plate or you're getting a ticket. In that case, they can take, according to this initiative language put forward by Senator Russell Pierce of Arizona, they can take a law-abiding American citizen, detain him indefinitely without due process until they can identify who it is, if they won't self-identify, through federal databases. So this national ID thing is pervasive, and it's popping up now all over the place.
Okay, now let me ask you this one question. We've been since 2003, I think the first show I did with Russell Pierce on when they did, they called it Prop 200, and it was all about immigration, get the immigrants, damn Mexicans, okay? And the thing was is that I saw in that initiative, in the last couple of paragraphs, it made it very clear that in order for this to be enacted, any contact with the state government, you had to be able to identify yourself as having been shown to be an American citizen. There was, and I have all these conservatives screaming about national ID cards, but all in this immigration issue, they're begging for it.
They're begging for it. That's exactly right. And there are people around, and I can give more references at another time, but there are people around claiming to be constitutional conservatives who are using the immigration issue, in fact, to usher in national ID, E-Verify, and other things, which is very interesting because, ironically, it's those very elements that the Council on Foreign Relations and others who advocate for completely open borders say are required components before amnesty can occur, before open borders can occur. So conservatives, just through our grassroots conservatives, are essentially being duped by these people.
Because they have to enact this kind of thing before they can do the kind of, you know, we get the workers come up here, yeah, they got their papers.
And interestingly, when it comes to, and I know this is a little bit off topic, when it comes to E-Verify, and we, you know, you can Google or Wikipedia E-Verify, the reason why the Council on Foreign Relations and other Amnesty Open Border folks like it is because once amnesty passes, all Homeland Security does is flip a switch at the national level overnight. All the people who previously were ineligible to work are now all of a sudden eligible to work. And if the states implement E-Verify as their primary work verification system, the states would then have no mechanism as to who, for the state input into who to say is eligible to work and who is not.
Nationalizes everything.
Completely.
And it puts, and it's not, you know, to find them damn Mexicans, got to get them Mexicans. You know, got to get them. Got to get them. Oh, by the way, to get them, we got to get everybody to fill out the form. Everybody has got to be registered.
If we stick to the principles of liberty and the Constitution and stop compromising and stop trying to achieve our own agendas, then we wouldn't be in this situation and we wouldn't have libertarians or conservatives being duped by people who aren't, you know, being totally honest. And this kind of externality occurs every time we deviate or attempt to compromise based on a personal agenda.
Wow. How was it that you were assigned or asked by someone in the legislature to do this? What prompted that?
Only because I've been studying the development of the national ID since 1994, and I'm on radio shows often, and I'm asked to write about it. I started out as a programmer inside of the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue and as a consultant and Department of Transportation, programming interfaces between those departments in the federal government. And it occurred to me one day as I was programming, why does the federal government need all this extra data? So I started researching into it, and I saw a pattern over several years. First, they developed an optional national driver's registry, then an employment eligibility database at various departments. And they're basically taking information from all these state departments and putting them in the federal databases. Well, the Real ID Project or the Pass ID or whatever you want to call it now, all that does is add a layer, an abstract layer, to pull all that data from all those databases developed between 1994 and recently into essentially one data mining interface. So what's essential for people to know about national ID is not a card in your pocket. National ID is a data file. So, for example, a lot of people oppose RFID chips because of privacy issues. The problem isn't the RFID chip. All the RFID chip does is present data in another format. Your card presents data in a format. The problem is the data itself, and that is the root and the kernel of the national ID. It's the data that the government has on you, which you don't own, and you have no right to correct or even see.
Wow. Hey, Jeff, I know you're kind of clandestine about giving out your full name and how you, because you're deep in local politics here, and we like you having access to being assigned such things, so we learn about this. But I appreciate you coming on, because our morning show today, we were going on about this, and we uncovered a lot of things, and I know you wanted to share this. And if people out there go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, to the top story there is this archive to this afternoon show, you'll see this information. And I'm telling you, there's a lot more that I need to tell you. And we have Andrew Strimick in, and we'll talk about it. Thanks, Jeff. We'll be back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit. And in the break, you need to do some independence declaring. And you don't even need a government form. Getting lost within
myself. There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I know you're out there, lunatic fringe, and it's definitely in here. I mean, if you're listening to the media, that's what the heck they'll say. They'll say, you bunch of fringers, what's your problem? Don't you have a problem? What's your problem? Why you got a problem? We just want to put, a little stuff inside you. We're just going to stick you a little bit. It won't even hurt very long. It's got a really, 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 really skinny needle. It'll be okay. Smile. It's all good. Government's here to help y'all. I tell you what, here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, I tell you what I claim property rights on? I claim, it's mine, me, mine, nobody else's, it belongs to me, is whatever's inside my skin. I claim that, okay? I don't get a claim on my income. I don't get to claim my property. They can have it in a domain or take or do or tax or, whatever. I got to pay rent to the government. I don't get to lay claim to, tell me I don't even get to, lay claim to my children. I'm going, really? And now it's like, you don't get your skin neither. We go, wow, seriously? Seriously? I'm upbeat. Usually I'm like, whatever, man. We're all learning what's up. We're getting educated. We know what's happening. It's part of love-evolution. But I mean, dang, if they don't try and test us all the time. Well, last night, I got a call at 7:30 at night. I get a call from the public relations office of the Arizona Department of Health Services. 7:30 at night, my phone rings. Going, hey, Ernie, it's so-and-so. We meant to get to you earlier, but we really wanted to talk. Why? Why did they want to talk to me all of a sudden at night? They wanted to stop something. What are they trying to stop? What was going on? Let me tell you what was going on last night. Andrew and friends were down here. So tell me, what was going on last night, Andrew? Go ahead and bring that up to you.
We were having a little party here. We were making signs and putting together flyers. We were putting together some flyers for our vaccine awareness thing that we got going on here, where we're supporting the first responders and we're getting out the information, put up huge banners, making hundreds of these banners that say support first responders, to say no against mandatory vaccines. We got these nice little pamphlets down here that says, do you know what's in your vaccine? Why doctors are saying no to mandatory vaccines. We're making thousands of these. We got right now we're handing out over 3,000 of these. We've got thousands more that we're making. And we got DVDs, shirts, and all sorts of projects that are going on right now. And this is a huge hit to the propaganda coming out from the Baxter and the big old pharmaceutical industries and the government, who they want you to get the vaccine and stick this needle on you. And, through coercion, try to get the first responders and manipulate them into taking it so they will have no problem giving it out to us. And so, we're rabble rousers, and we're getting out the message, and the news is going crazy about it because, hey, we're hitting them harder before they even got a chance to put in, activate these mandatory laws like they did in New York, where they required the first responders already to take these vaccines. Here in Arizona, they're saying, why are you getting your panties in a knot? you know, we haven't even passed these laws, or we don't got anything.
No, they haven't enacted them yet.
Exactly.
They passed them.
And we're getting the jump on it, and they don't like it. They don't know how to respond to this because there is a huge cry of public support for this, and doctors that are coming out of the woodworks that are turning into activists themselves because they see what's going on in the news media, and they know a bunch of these people, so-called professionals, are just a bunch of shills in the news, on the news. And so they're going around, giving out speeches to churches, town hall meetings, all sorts of stuff. It's great.
Now, this is one other thing that's happened. I've been through this before and things like when you're dealing with big Bubba government and you're causing them a heart attack, things happen. Okay, let me tell you one of the things that happens. They go to the media themselves and they're like, oh, no, man, don't be crazy. Don't support these crazies or the crazy items of being crazy. Well, what happens is some of these reporters, what they don't know is we kind of inoculated their minds by giving them access to the same information that we have. And I go, look, the reason I give you a perfect example. We're in Phoenix and got a lot of coverage up here and it's still growing. And Hispanic television and in Tucson and so on. And one of the reporters in Tucson, she's a young woman, and she said, you got any more information on this? And I go, look, let me tell you how bad this is. And you just send them an email that has, one of the links that we have on Freedoms Phoenix that has a lot of the material. All you need to do is read this, watch this video. And these are, the people in the industry. This is the Center for Disease Control having secret meetings with the pharma industry to make sure they're trying to insulate themselves from freedom of information requests. Well, somebody leaks the information, and who's up there doing a video for 15 minutes on it? Robert Kennedy Jr. going, look, man, these guys are lying to you. They know you have congressmen on the floor of the House saying their grandchildren have been destroyed by this stuff, and they got a personal interest. You want to screw with some? I don't care how corrupt they are. I don't care how much they're on the take. They got to live with their families and they got grandkids that are destroyed by this. Guess what's going to happen? Then we have today, beautiful woman takes a flu jab. She is disabled for life. She just happened to be what? A beautiful red skin football NFL cheerleader. Yeah, it's always good when you get a cheerleader that's out there got damaged and you need somebody to show how bad it is. Is that how we look at it? It's a good thing that this happened. We got good people that get nailed so that it finally comes out. What has to happen? It's almost like it reminds me of that dentist in Florida that had HIV AIDS and was giving it to all his patients so it become an issue. Is that what has to happen? Well, of course you don't advocate that. But that's what it gets to every time. There's always, when you got the cute little 9-year-old white girl, but it has to get to that point. Millions of people have to be damaged, and then you get the one poster child. There's one. Then it's a big deal. Then all of a sudden they're all over it. Oh, you're ever so right. We're gonna string this one guy up. We'll find a scapegoat. It'll be one guy. It'll be somebody that they'll get. I'm going, seriously. Can we just, advocate for individual rights and not have to, worry about whether they look good on a poster or not? And of course they got that poster, the guy taking it. You got Walgreens ads out there. They're $24.99. Look at this cute little girl, taking, got a little heart on her arm.
Yeah, they'll be taking a shot on the news in front of you and just laughing about, oh, I'm not scared of this little thing. Look at me. Look how much of a man I am, or how woman I am. Sheep. Yeah, sheeple is more like it. Idiots just sitting there taking the shot and trying to set example for all these. I mean, the thing is, the studies, medical studies have been done. They found that, the flu vaccines do not have any effect, on children that between 6 and 24 months, the flu shot
and
was...
And that is not even the point.
Exactly.
It's this coercion thing. Well, I'll tell you what happened last night. While the guys down here, Andrew and them, are making these signs, you go on Freedoms Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, and I'll put it up on today's thing so you can see what the signs look like. But they are they're a hit. They're popular. Just like we're the one that did the Ron Paul Revolution sign. So we know when we got a good thing going, man. We just get all kinds of stupid about it. So we're putting them up everywhere. Well, the Phoenix Police Department and Fire Department, all these guys know. We're there supporting them. Look, we want you to be able to say no. And they're like, I'd like to be able to say no if I could just, say. On the news, we're going, look, let me tell you what I know. Let me tell you what I can guarantee. guarantee you there is at least one police officer, one fireman, one nurse, one doctor, one teacher that do not want to take this. That's who we're for. That one of each one, that one first responder that says, no, I don't want to. What are you guys for? You're for making that one do it. That's what you're for. So now we go in. This is what happens. It's better late than never, I guess. I mean, we're dealing with the local, you know, we talk with, you know, the police department, their union, the fire. We get up to the city manager, the mayor's office. It goes to the county. We get into, you know, finally it gets to the State Department of, and they won't call me back. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you, they called me. They called me at 7:30 last night. They had to talk to me. And what did they have to say? We'll talk about when we come back on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and sitting in with me in studio, Andrew.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free.
To break free. I mean, what is it I want to do? I just want to be left alone. Can I be left alone? I want to be left alone. That's what I vote. I vote be left alone. They're on Declare Your Independence. That's all you have to do. Don't need a government form. I declare my independence from something. What am I doing it from? Somebody that doesn't want me to be independent from. They want me to be dependent. You know, dependent on what? You know, do I have to be dependent on something? Can I have a voluntary association with something? Let me tell you what government's not. It's not friendly advice. You know, if they were friendly advice, you know what? We've pulled our resources of all the taxpayers, and we've kind of, you know, come to the conclusion that, you know, this star cluster over here is really pretty. You know, we built this space Hubble telescope, and we did that. I'm like, you know, could I have kept that money myself and done, you know, let Bill Gates go do it? You know, now I can't. But yeah, okay, it's pretty. At least you're not bothering me other than what you put a gun to my head and take the money, you know. But then it's like, oh, no. It's more than, you know, friendly advice or showing you nice, you know, fiery rockets going up or putting on, you know, 4th of July displays and trying to make me feel warm and fuzzy. I need your allegiance. I need you to do exactly what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. And if you're not going to, I will force you because it matters not. I am your king. So what's going on? Why?
Well, you know, in 2002, we know they enacted a law at the health emergency law that allows them to mandate vaccinations or quarantine at detention centers in your home or health centers such as like hospitals. And this thing is being what I would say is being harmonized across the country, these laws, you know, just being put in place all around by the federal government and state governments alike. They want to give themselves the power to force you or coerce you into taking it. Now, a lot of people might go, well, you know, I don't see the – it says right here you can waive it and, you know, sign this waiver. Well, you know, what good does that do if they're going to put you in a detention center and take you – stop you from going to work and providing yourself food and you know,
and that's what we're finding out. There, you know, you can, and I'll get to this point. You know, let's go ahead. And I get a call last night. All right. We have, it doesn't matter what her name is. You know, she's from Department of. She calls in and she was very helpful, called me late at night after work and so on, and really walked me through it. And it was kind of under the condition that her name not go out. Can you not, you know, put me in? All right. You know, just tell me everything. That's a condition. But you tell me, man, don't be holding anything back. Okay, well, I may have found a little something that was held back or she didn't know, and we're going to find out here pretty quick because we left some messages, and maybe she'll call me tonight. So what happens is, you know, I guess it's better late than never, but I got a call at 7:30 last night from the Arizona Department of Health Services Public Information Officer. All right, she's very helpful. She answered my questions, and here's the answer. Yes. The state of Arizona has the power to force H1N1 vaccine into the bodies of Arizona residents, or if you claim religious reasons, now otherwise you would have been happy to take, you know, whatever they wanted you to. I mean, I'd take it. You know, if it wasn't for right here in the Bible and God said I shouldn't have done it. You know, if my pastor said I said, you know, but normally, you know, everybody else should take it. You know, but I'm good. You know, I would. You know, I'd like to help you out, but you know, I got this Bible thing going on. So then they say, okay, we're not going to put, you know, a jackboot on your throat, you know, and shove it into you. You know, we're just going to send you to jail. That'll be really nice to you. You know, now it's just, but they're going to quarantine you for the duration of whatever they say is the emergency. Now, I tell you, this is what's going on. They created an entire structure since 9/11. What they did is they created in Homeland Defense, this whole thing, this Homeland Security thing. That's what, you know, it's all FEMA got put in the Homeland Security. You got this Department of Homeland Security, a little bit more and more and more and more Homeland Security. Okay. What they did, this was under Chertoff or whatever at the time, and now it's Napolitano, like there's a difference. Okay, so what happens is that they even look alike. So what happens is you bring all this stuff in, and they have all the centralized power, but they needed to harmonize it, like Andrew said, across the country. How did they do that? Now, my mantra's always been, you know, if those in government can take an action that will maintain and or enhance their positions of power and influence over everybody, they will. Well, is there some moral hurdle they got to go over? You know, it's like, oh, we wouldn't do that. That would be wrong. You know, wage war, you know, unjustly, lie people into whatever, fraud, force, taking their money, you know, election fraud. We wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. I mean, you know, to think they wouldn't do whatever it takes for them to maintain and enhance their power and influence, you know, you're just naive. Now, think about this. As the economy continues to demonstrate its reaction to government manipulation, corporate central bankers, inflation, all this stuff's going to happen. Each individual state, and Arizona is worse off than most. And while everybody was screaming about California and how bad their debt was and all this other stuff, per capita, for the population in Arizona, we were in worse condition, still are. They are short bunch of money. I think it's like $1 billion, it's an enormous amount of money. So they go, yeah, whatever. You know, we just pass it on because what's the deal? Janet Napolitano, head of Homeland Security, was governor here. This happened on her watch. So they're going, hey, you know, you better, you know, look for the home team here. You better be taking care of what, man, you know, right here. So what happens? If you want access to the mercy of the federal government and their bailout for the states, you think it might come with some strings? What do you think? So where are we at right now? You know, these reports and recommendations and this infrastructure and everything is uniform across the country. It's been going on behind the scenes. You don't know about it. And all they have to do is flip a switch. And you know what that switch is? What do they have to do, Andrew?
All right, just declare emergency.
That's
you know?
It. Declare emergency. Emergency. Now, what had already happened? This was in May. In May, they were saying, the World Health Organization, we're on level 5 or 50 or whatever the heck it was.
Oh, yeah, they're going up and up and up.
Yeah, bring out your dead. I mean, you know, there's bodies laying in the streets. Oh, my goodness. You know, it was a big, giant pandemic. Where, you know, my goodness. And you're going, where? Dang it. I mean, and I always said, if they need to, you know, St. Louis Arch, Golden Gate Bridge, boom, toast, man. If they need to take care of that, that's going to enhance, you know, their collective power, you know, then they're done. You know, and that's just kind of, the metaphor. I mean, you know, what would they do? What if they just needed a few thousand bodies?
Yeah, and you know something amazing is the WHO or the World Health Organization. Their pandemic levels only go up to level 6. Yet they're at 6.2. They gotta keep notching it up.
We're at 6.2?
6.2.
0.2?
0.2.
0.2. We're at 0.2.
It's just like you know in the Iraq, you know during the President Bush and the Iraq War, all those colors that you know the color levels. You know now they're inventing colors.
We're at super red. We're Chinese red.
We're at neon green, you know, green, you know, turquoise.
Neon flashing red. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So this is, you know, 6.2. Based on what? This is the excuse. You know, think about it. This is, now, what if you could declare martial law on the entire country and all you had to do would be declare an emergency, a health emergency? How would you do that? Well, you're going to need something. You're going to need some. I mean, you got to blame somebody. I mean, so here you got the World Health Organization and all these other agencies go, we're in a pandemic. Really? By what standard? By what number? They don't care. It matters not. He is your king. You know, so then we're going, all right, so we see this coming. So the only thing that's keeping Arizona from following in the footsteps of other states like New York, where it's mandating vaccinations, is the insistence by the people that this action would create a little bit of blowback.
Yeah, I was just watching that movie a few nights ago, the 1984, and that's where we're at. We're in 1984, where they got access to your body, your mind, everything. They want access to, and you know, and that, and they keep you in a perpetual fear of always there's something new to be scared of. And the pandemic is the new thing to be scared of, so they can invade your privacy more and invade your body.
You know, and now this is what we did. Now on the morning show, we had a senior editor from Freedom's Phoenix, is Pal Gamel. Now what's interesting, a lot of people don't know, is that he was, man, you'll love this one. He was manager of the bioterrorism detection section of the Arizona State Public Health Lab from 2000 to 2003. You know, so he knew where to look and legislate all this stuff. You know, senior editor of our website, Freedom's Phoenix, he's a longtime hardcore libertarian, run for Congress against Trent Franks, give him what fur. He was the head of the bioterrorism lab here in Arizona. He goes, I know what was going on. Heck, they started out going, man, you know, he knew when to leave, too. He's like, oh, I so see with it. You know what? I'm retired, man. Dang. Well, let me tell you what he found out and why they're running from us. Oh, you're going to want to hear this.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Change it too. Let's change the world. Let's go change the world. I want to change the world. Hey, Andrew, you want to change the world?
Oh, I am changing the world.
We are changing the world. You know how you start changing the world? You do it right where you're at. I mean, right where you're at. And we'll, you know, and that's one thing. You know, the criticism we get on the show, in the years that I've done radio, it's gone, you know, across the country. I'll tell you what it's always been. You always talk about Arizona. And I go, well, what else would I talk about? You know, I mean, it's where these things, you think these things happen, you know, just here? This is exactly, we got to, I'll tell you this, I want to emphasize this so you understand why we do this. If you take a hologram, you know, glass mirrored hologram, they, and then we can get all the science about how they do it and lasers and do it in 3D and all that kind of crap, and that doesn't matter. You take and you got a whole, say, Statue of Liberty on this 8.5 by 11 mirror, and you take and you break it, and you get like a little piece down in the bottom, and you take and you hold that corner up, the full image is in there. It records the whole image because I have no idea. That's a whole nother story. But the point is, it's a science. It records all the information. But the point is that if you want to see what's going on a universal scale, I mean, the universe, galactical, solar system, planetary, all you need to do is look at your little bitty baby small city town council. Same type of people, same characters, same thought process, same. It is the same kind of people that are seeking the same types of power for the same types of reasons. You know, because they feel like they're justified, they're entitled, they want to have it, it's theirs. Thank you very much for playing. So, I want to go ahead and make sure that you understand this. Because when we focus on what's happening here, we'll start in a small city, we'll start on the state level, we'll go on up, and you'll start to see that the country's done the same way. Same kind of people, same reasons. You know, and they deal with the same kind of people on a local level because they speak the same language. You know, then you go on up to the United Nations or planetary or global or corporations or whatever. It's all the same. So how are we going to How are we going to counteract this? What are we going to do? Well, we just get informed. And we focus on one area. Because there is, you know what, I'm going to go to Utah. I'm going to go to Tennessee. I'm going to go to Oregon. I'm going to go to Florida. You know, I'm going to go, you know, around the country where this is heard. You know, do yours. You do yours. You know, I'm sitting here showing you what's happening right here, and they're using the same thing. Let's go ahead and go to today's show. You go in the archive, you look in there, you do the H1N1, how Arizona has the power. You go into that story. I got it all sitting here right for you. What happened? Pal Gamble was the manager of bioterrorism detection section for the Arizona Health Department here. So he goes, he's like, yeah, I know where to look. He goes into Title 36, Public Health and Safety. You click in there. And you go to ARS, Arizona Revised Statute, 36-787, Public Health Authority during state of emergency or state of war emergency. State of emergency. All you got to do is say, we are in a state of emergency. How many times have you had a governor do that? You know, Michigan, we're in a state of emergency. Why? Because our economy is really bad and all the auto manufacturing closed down. California, we're in a state of emergency. Why? Because we got all these fires. We're in a state of emergency. Why? Because our budget's really bad. We're in a state of emergency because, you know, we got too many flies. I mean, we got some, you know, the plagues coming on. Oh, my goodness. We definitely in a state of emergency. We've got H1N1. The WHO said so. We're at 6.2. I mean, I find that interesting. So then you go ahead and you go to Title 36, and you scroll down. And we show the screenshot here because we think, you know, they'll probably change it later. So you go to Article 12 that says Public Health Crisis. Public health, Article 12, you go to the law, and it's, you know, 36, 790, whatever, and you go in there, and it's, you know, 796.08, then it skips and goes to 797.41, so there's like 30-something laws that are just kind of missing, okay? And it says Article 11, you know, it talks about definitions and labeling of this and doing that and so on. Then Article 13, it's, you know, detailing about, you know, a certain kind of disease and all this. Article 12, public health crisis. Public health crisis, Article 12. I want to see what they got to say about that. It's blank. Okay? So then you go in and you go, all right, well, we'll just, in the URL, we'll change the number. It's like 36/00796.08. Well, let's change it to 0.09. Let's see what goes there. Boom. Let me tell you what the screensaver, the screenshot says. The requested document has not been posted to the website as yet. Really? Why? You know, is the law there? We don't have a public crisis. It's not there anymore. We don't have. You just decided not to post it. It's not showing. I don't. We'll take it off. Do something. I mean, it was changed to something else. You know what? So we go back to our public relations officer, you know, public information officer for the Arizona Department of Health, and we say, hey, what's up, Laura? Happening? You know, I appreciate the call and everything, but you're checking on this, and, oh, by the way, our senior editor was the, you know, bioterrorism lab manager, you know, just FYI. You know, I forgot to tell you that part. And then we go, and we say, look, this is here where all this is detailed and everything. All of a sudden, these laws are gone. Is that just, am I being conspiratorial here? Am I worried about nothing? Or is there something to worry about? Well, then I go, and this is what she was helpful with, and they're finally come to find out what was going on, their motivation, I think, for, you know, just, you know, make Ernie go away. Because in the media, all the television interviews and everything that I was doing, I go, look, until I get an answer to this question, this issue's not going away. You know, we are going to hammer on this. Do they or do they not have the ability to force us to take vaccinations?
Sounds like they're working on your answer, Ernie. Delete, delete, delete.
Yeah, right. Well, yes, they do. Under what condition? Under a signature from the government, from the governor. That's what. Now, they had to have this infrastructure behind them. Well, then you go towards the bottom of the page here. We have, some more information. Arizona Influenza Pandemic Response Plan. Pandemic flu information, report to Homeland Security Council, Arizona Public Health responses to the new H1N1 virus. And I got all the links to the PDFs from their own site on the government. We found out where all this stuff was. It is the master plan. So you go, all right, you think Arizona just whipped this bad boy up? Heck no. They come in with a template, and they did all 50 states at the same time with their liaisons to the Homeland Security. Now think about this. If you go to my old archive, you know, I have my old archives from previous shows on at Ernest hancock.com/archive. And we're merging them now. It's all technical computer geek stuff, and, you know, and we're slow. So we'll get them over. But the point is this. ErnestHancock.com/archive. You go in the contents by subject, and you look for Homeland Security. Or you go by name, and you look for Frank Navarette. Now, you can do Ernest Hancock, Frank Navarette, Google search right now. It'll probably come up. Now, what it is an interview that I did with this guy back in 04, I think. Now, if you have someone that, you know, Ridge at the time was, you know, head of Homeland Security. I'm head guy, you know, in charge. Well, guess what is the next level? Well, you have all 50 states will have an individual that is the liaison from the state government to Homeland Security, the head guy. When they say, we are on green alert. We're on no alert. It's green. He ain't ever going to be green. No. Oh, heck no. So green, blue, yellow, orange, red, I think is how it goes. So we're on, you know, the yellow alert. We're going to go to orange. We're going to red alert. All right. Well, who do they tell? Well, they tell this guy. That's the Homeland Security guy that, you know, tells the governor. Well, I have him on. He was under the impression that we were going to be buds, right? Reason was, is the previous week at the same radio station I was at, it was a 50,000-watt Liberty blowtorch. You know, it went statewide. And what happened was he was on a show in the evening that Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe Arpaio had. So Sheriff Joe's at the same station once a week. He'd do like an hour or two, I think it was, on a Wednesday night, and he'd do whatever, okay? And the station did that because they could say they did, all right? So he would do that. So he'd come on after I was evening drive on in the afternoon, so he'd come on after me. So this guy knew, had seen me, you know, like Sheriff Joe and I are not like shooting each other or whatever. So when I invited him to come on, sure, it's the same state. Well, yeah, whatever, man. It's all fam. Yeah, we'd be some family. We're going to be coming by. So I'm sitting out there waiting. I'd be shocked if this guy shows up. Sure enough, there he comes up in his little black-walled, tired, you know, white sedan government car. And, you know, hey, what's up? And we go in. We sit down. And, there's a big, long history that he had going back in the 70s when he was with the Phoenix Police Department. And then he went to Motorola, you know, and he's kind of, you know, then he was in the governor's office when Babbitt was governor. And he was kind of covering up a thing called the Arizona Project, which was Don Bowles, a reporter, investigative reporter. His car was blown up. And what happened? He was uncovering all kinds of stuff. Well, they have a news museum now in Washington, and his little B210 Datsun car, it has its own wing. I mean, it's in there. They're doing a movie with Ben Affleck plays in this movie. You know, this is going to be big. This issue is not going away. Well, he was part of the cover-up with that. You know, and he didn't know. I knew. I know. I'm hip. So I'm sitting there talking to him, and he's just spilling his guts trying to get my attention and impress me and so on. And I'm, you know, just typing away, taking notes. When he comes on, you know, where did he go? He's off doing, you know, MCI kind of cell phone in Europe, wire tapping kind of stuff and everything. And you think you get to be one of the Homeland Security guys for the state and be a good guy? Is that how you think this works? Interesting conversation. I'll tell you more about it when we come back. This has been going on for a while. We've been tracking it. We know you should be concerned because they're about ready to flip the switch. Pay attention. We'll be right back.